following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled Matters of the Heart, a study through the book of 2 Corinthians. More information about this study is available at www.refugefamily.com.
Let's pray. God, we come before you, Lord, and we do want to praise you and thank you and honor and glorify you tonight, Lord. I want to thank you so much for my friend Midge, Lord, who is now by your side and worshiping you and praising you. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that she knew you. I thank you for the impact that she had on every life around her, Lord. I know that we look back and wish we could have had just a little more time or wish we would have hugged her a little tighter last time and all those things, Lord, but we thank you that she is in the best place she could be. And I know that I'm jealous. And I pray, Lord, that you would just be with those who are grieving. Be with us, Lord, as we miss our sister who loved you and was such a great testimony to us, Lord, of strength. And God, we just pray that you would be with everybody, Lord, that is mourning her loss. But we do celebrate, Lord, that she's with you in your presence. And on that note, Lord, we do want to pray for the families of those who lost loved ones at the Boston Marathon, Lord. We pray for the parents of the little 8-year-old boy, Lord. It's so senseless. And it's one of those things that we do not understand and we won't ever understand. But we thank you, Lord, that you remain constant, that you are the same. And we pray for those who are still in the hospital, Lord, who are healing from horrific injuries. And we pray, God, that you would give them hope in this new life that they now have, Lord, whether it be without limbs or other injuries, God, or just change from the trauma, Lord. I pray that you would be with them and that we know, God, that even in something this horrific, you can be glorified. And I pray, Lord, that you would bring people to the side of those who are mourning and who are hurting after this tragedy, Lord, and that you would bring people who know you and have your hope and are ready to give that to them and that they would be lifted up through this, Lord. And we also do pray for the Breaking Through Conference, God. I pray for everybody involved. I pray that you would move in a mighty way in the lives of these women who are coming, Lord, that they would realize that there is nowhere too far that they can go from you, Lord. I pray that you would just bring them the hope, Lord, that you have. I pray, God, that you would just breathe into them the life that you've created for them and that they would be able to, with you, work on that new future that you've already got for them. And I do pray that you go before us tonight, Lord, that you would speak through me, that my words would not be my own, but they would be your Holy Spirit, Lord. We thank you that your word is powerful. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, Deb, do you want to bring the volume? I'm sorry, I'm breaking the fourth wall. It's like, but can you bring this down just a touch? It's kind of ringing a little bit, and I'm going to move around a bunch, and I'm already really loud, as you know. Anyway, all right. Let's get into the study. So everybody's already studied up on 2 Corinthians chapter 10, right? Yeah? So it's funny because last week, I mean, it's just been nutty. You know when you have those times where it's all or nothing? Like either you're like, gosh, I got all this time. Maybe I should finish all those projects I started. Or you're so busy you can't even catch your breath. Well, last week, I didn't have really time to hang out or anything and was getting ready to go away to do worship last weekend. I missed you guys not being here, but the Lord was good. And anyway, I got to school to drop off my girls and realized after the fact that we were supposed to be there early for the field trip that day and the buses had left. And my little 11-year-old Emmy, my oldest, we found out the buses had And literally, I'm not even kidding you, we missed it by like 2 minutes. Like we probably passed it and weren't even looking for it. So, and that morning I had gotten up and I thought, well, should I put on my workout clothes and go work out or should I get dressed and go to the women's study? Because they go to school right there and there's a women's study right there. And I thought, oh, well, I'll just go to women's study. And then I thought, no, I'll work out. I really need to focus on me for a little while, you know, anyway. So I get there, I'm in my workout clothes, no makeup, no hair done, nothing. Like, I'm lucky I even brushed my teeth. Actually, everybody I came in contact with is lucky I brushed my teeth. And so anyway, we get there, we get into the office, and I say, did the buses leave? And they said, yeah, they left a while ago. And they left early. And my 11-year-old looks at me and goes, I told you. And I said, no, you didn't. We're going to go ahead and take a little step outside real quick and have a chat. So bless her heart. She was just so bummed out. And I thought, Well, I can't not let her go. She's been so looking forward to this. I don't really have a ton of plans today because it was going to be my me day. So I was kind of mad that my me day was no longer going to be a me day. It was now going to be a drive to Oak Glen day. Wasn't like she was in Long Beach or LA. This was like an hour and a half drive. Well, it turns out we got her up there, and I'm not even kidding you. Like, so this is how lame I am. I'll just preface this and then expect you to get something out of this study because God is good and he uses even people like me. But we get into the car and I'm like, great, well, I guess I'm driving to Oak Glen today. And you guys think I'm all sweet up there. This is how I am. This is what Jesus has to work with, my friends. So I'm like, great, well, I guess I have to drive up to Oak Glen and I'm not going to get to work out today. And then I look down at my gas gauge, and I need gas. So I don't even have enough gas to get up to Oak Glen. So I pull into the gas station, and you know how people use the gas pump as a parking spot and they go in and browse it, whatever. I mean, what do you need? Like, pick up the Doritos. How do you have that long to browse in that tiny little store? Give me a break. Like Trident or Freedent. What do you want? So I'm saying, mind you, I'm already like flustered and frustrated. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And meanwhile, my little daughter is next to me like, sorry, mom. And I'm all, well, you know what? I'm not being the way the Lord wants me to be. I'm just being real honest with you guys and transparent. I just want to let you guys open up. That's why I like to share. I don't know why I share that much, actually. So I move to a different pump, put my card in, and it doesn't work. And I'm all, you've got to be kidding me. And I try it like two or three times, and I have to go inside. So I go inside, and I say, can I please have 50? I'm trying really hard, right? Can I please have $50 on pump two? So she gives me my receipt to sign, and it says $15. And I'm all, I actually wanted $50. 50. And it was just like, and in the midst of the time that I had to wait, the Lord was like, Shannon, stop and shut your mouth for a second, because this is how the Lord needs to speak to me. There's no gentle, like, I need him to go, hey, wake up a second. So I go out there and I pump my gas and I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I just need you to snap me back, and just felt like his spirit was asking me to bring him back into the situation, right? So I get back in the car and my poor little Emmy is just like, she's got her head down. She's being really quiet. She's like, because she doesn't really know what's going to happen. Because I'm like, you're lucky that I didn't leave you at school and say, have fun in the library. I'll see you at 3, you know. This is the attitude made me want to do that for a second. But anyway, so we get going, and I just start praying. And I'm like, you know what, baby? The Lord knows. The Lord has known since before he created the earth that we were going to be late today. And now we get this extra hour and a half of time together, and I get to have it with just you. We had no traffic the whole way. I did miss one freeway, of course. And we made our way up there, and it was beautiful. And I dropped her off because she didn't really want to hang out with me anymore. She wanted to be with her friends, which I totally understand. And a little way up the road, I found this apple orchard that was all but deserted, had maybe one or two school trips there. And the lady said, you ought to hike our trails. And there's a really nice trail, and it's like 2 miles round trip. And I'm like, well, maybe I will get my workout in, you know. And it, you have to know me. I like the outdoors, but I'm not a Girl Scout by any means. If I see a snake, I'm done. If I see a bee, I'm like, it's like labor breathing, like going back to being in labor, you know, we're good, just easy breathing. So I told my husband later, because the first sign I see on the trail is like, these animals inhabit this area. And it's like a bear, a rattlesnake, not just gopher snake, a rattlesnake, like a deadly snake. There's no antidote in my back pocket, right? I don't have the antivenom. And then mountain lions. And I'm like, great. So I came out here to be attacked by these animals. But I'm thinking, okay, Lord, and I'm trying to be like really spiritual about it. Okay, Lord, you've brought me out here. You want to spend some time with me. I get it. Like, so selfish. I get it, Lord. You want my time. But I'm walking on this trail, and I'm just like this the whole time. You know, I'm like, I know there's a mountain lion. And a bee buzzes past me. I mean, it was probably pure comedy. Like, I wish somebody was videotaping me, because I wasn't even enjoying myself. I'm like, waving things around me. And finally, I get to the end of the trail. I'm like, finally stop at this pond and start to slow down. And I just feel the Lord just telling me, just chill out. I don't want to have this big, like, you know, when you think about your time with the Lord, when you get away, you're waiting for like the clouds to open up and angels to fly down and holding this message, you know? But it wasn't that. You know what it was? It was, I needed to stop and like shut my mouth for a few minutes and just sit, and nothing profound happened except that I got real quiet before the Lord because I needed to prepare and I had zero time. Now that I'm driving up to Oak Glen, I now have zero time. But the Lord totally blessed it. And what was really cool was later on, I'm driving down the mountain and just feeling ready for the day. And we're in a battle. And we're going to learn about that tonight, about how we're really in a battle. And sometimes the Lord needs to get us way out of what we're planning on doing to get our minds back in the right place. Cool? All right. I don't know if that really goes with the story, but that was my week, just in case you were wondering. So I really felt yesterday as I was going through this scripture that the Lord was kind of wanting us to work through it backwards. And I know that's weird, but you shouldn't be surprised. You know me enough by now to get that I'm a little different. So what I want to look at first is Paul's authority. When somebody's telling you something, you want to know what their authority is. If somebody comes to your door, if there's this guy and a random guy comes to your door and he's all, want to buy some Girl Scout cookies? You're going to be like, something doesn't seem right about this, right? You're going to check your sources, ask for some ID and some actual Girl Scout cookies and make sure he doesn't, you know. Anyway, make sure he's legit. So basically, I want us to look at Paul's authority and why he knows what he's talking about and who's given him this authority. So turn with me first to Acts 9. And we're going to get into our text in just a second. Acts chapter 9. Most of us know the story. Who was Paul before he was Paul? What was his name? Saul. And what did Saul do? Persecuted the Christians. Murderous threats. Exactly. He was out killing the Christians, right? By the end of the chapter, he's saved. Crazy. Something only the Lord can do. But in the middle of this, he's on the road to where? Damascus, well done. You must have a really great pastor. And so anyway, he gets into the city and there's Ananias, and God is talking to Ananias. This is Paul's authority. This is his authority. Verse 15, but the Lord said to him, Ananias, go for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him many things he must suffer for my name's sake. That's Paul's authority. And guess what? That's our authority. We are chosen vessels by God. Boom. You're a chosen vessel. You've been given authority. You have the gospel, and the Lord wants you to spread it. So we have that same authority. So that's all I want to talk about as far as his authority is, except I want to talk about why it's important. So I'm going to read the whole chapter, and then we're going to work our way backwards just for fun. So chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians, if you haven't already flipped back there, and I'm going to start reading in verse 1. Now I, Paul myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with the confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Verse 7. Do you look at things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ's, let him again consider that in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ's. So we're all one. For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, here's his authority, which the Lord gave us for edification and not for your destruction, I shall not be ashamed, lest I seem to terrify you by letters. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Let such a person consider this, that what we are in word by letters, when we are absent, such we will also be indeed when we are present. So shape it up. Verse 12. And this is the most confusing verse in this entire chapter, and we're going to talk about it later. Verse 12. And mind you, it's meant to sound a little bit silly. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who condemn themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. And you go, what? And you have to read it again and again. So we're going to get back to that because it's meant to sound a little bit cuckoo. Verse 13, we, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God has appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. For we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you. For it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. Verse 17, but he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who condemns him, that's the wrong word, way the wrong word. Verse 18, for not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. Okay, so Paul's authority. Go to verse 8. What does it say his authority is for? For what? There. Verse 8 says, even if I should boast somewhat about our authority, which the Lord gave us for edification and not for your destruction. He's saying, look, we're here to help. Because if you look through this whole chapter, look at all the stuff that Paul is coming up against. For his words are weighty when blah, 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 blah. I mean, this is like full on gossip happening that he's having to confront and say, you guys are talking all these things about me. And then he goes into verse 11. Let such a person consider this, that what we are in word by letters when we are absent, such we will also be indeed when we are present. And I think that what I'm seeing in this chapter is that he's having to come against words that are being said about him when he's not there behind his back. That's the way that I see it. That people are talking about, well, I don't really like the way that he is. And he's this way in his letters, but then when he comes here, he's this other way. So what he's doing, and I feel like the key verses are verses 3 to 5, which we'll get to later. We're not fighting against each other. We're fighting against the enemy who wants to rip us apart. And oftentimes he rips us apart by using us, right? And we're going to talk a little bit more about that later, so I don't want to go over it too much yet. But his authority gave him, allowed him to edify the believers and preach the gospel to the Corinthians and then move on. In verses 14 and 16, he says, we're not overextending. And basically in these verses, he says, we want to preach the gospel to you and have you guys get it because we want to keep going. We want to move on outside of the sphere. So we all have our own sphere of influence, right? My sphere of influence is refuge, my family, maybe the school my kids go to, maybe, I'm just kidding, the school my kids go to. My sphere of influence is completely different probably than most of your sphere of influence. Am I right? You guys have jobs. You work in other places. That's where you're called to minister. And every single one of us, even if we don't work and just go to the grocery store or just run errands, guess what? You still have a sphere because you're not just staying in your house all day doing nothing. I hope you're not, because if you are, we have things that you can do here. But honestly, we all have our own sphere of influence, and I'm responsible to reach out beyond that sometimes. So beyond my sphere of immediate influence that I have all the time, I'm not honestly, sometimes I think, gosh, I'm just not really in touch with that many non-Christians. At my job is in a church. I work at a church. Honestly, though, I really am surrounded by non-Christians in the church sometimes, right? If we're being honest. I'm not pointing fingers about anybody, but we are. We're a ministry field right here. But what about when I go to the grocery store? You guys know my mom's always talking about how instead of like, hi, how are you? Good, thanks. How are you? Good, thanks. Bye. Paper, plastic, whatever. No. What does my mom say? How's your day? How can I pray for you? Right? So I totally stole that from her. And I was at Toys R Us last night to get something that we're going to talk about later. And the guy was ringing me up and I said, how's your day? And he told me so much information, which was fine. But he was saying it was his birthday and all of his birthday plans and everything. And well, his birthday was today. So he was going to have the day off and his family and all these things. And, you know, there was nothing really spiritual about our conversation, except that I listened. And when I left, he said, hey, thanks for talking. And I said, you're welcome. Even that little bit of influence that you have, I didn't say anything about Jesus. I didn't say anything about refuge, but I was trying to be different. Does that make sense? You guys think it makes me a bad Christian that I didn't go, while I'm here, I know you have a line of people, but this is way more important. While I'm here, I was wondering if you knew Jesus. Does that make me responsible? Not really. It makes me like the annoying person at the front of the line who's holding up the line. So that little time that you have with that person, you don't even know how much impact that has. You guys ever had somebody call you and you're like, they just called me just to say hi because they were thinking about me. Like, how special does that make you feel that they actually took the time to think of you? You're like, oh, you did? Little old me? But I was talking to a friend of mine. We went out to coffee the other day and she was riding her bike to work. And she had prayed that the Lord would give her more opportunities. And you know what happens when you do that. So she's riding her bike and she crashed her bike. You know when you're by yourself and you trip and fall or something, like there's no coming back. You're like, that totally just happened. Was anybody here the day that I tripped up the stairs during the prayer at the end of service? Debbie holds up her hand high. I was there. Totally fell on my face. I'm not even kidding. I was wearing shoes like this, which obviously I haven't learned my lesson. But I was coming up there carrying this huge Bible that we have in the green room. It was huge. And during the last prayer, you know, where everybody's eyes are closed and heads are bowed, and my dad's praying, and, you know, the worship team magically appears on the stage. I'm like tiptoeing, and my shoe breaks, and my shoe bangs against the thing with a thud, and I go down, and the Bible's like, boom, on the big hollow stage. And I just kind of turned around and just kind of sat there for a minute like, that totally just happened. All right, well, better go to the piano. You got to, like, pick yourself back up. So anyway, yeah, the knock heard around the world. Everybody gave me these funny looks after, like, are you okay? You know, I'm like, whoa, just trying to have fun with them. But anyway, it's happened to all of us. You just got to kind of suck it up and say, yep, that happened. You all saw it. You're welcome for the entertainment. So anyway, she's out riding her bike. Back to my other story. She's out riding her bike, and she crashes. And after she crashes, she's kind of dusting herself off, checking out her wounds and stuff. And this guy walks up to her and said, hey, could I use your phone? I need to call these places. And so, you know, you weigh it out, and the Holy Spirit is totally your guide in that situation. If you don't feel safe, or you do feel safe. But she said she felt totally fine about it. So he takes her phone and starts calling, what do you call them? Places where people go when they're in rehab. Like a halfway house type of place, something like, oh, sober living. Yes, sober living place. So he's calling all these places. Come to find out, he's only been sober for 2 days. And she's come in contact with him. She's prayed that the Lord would give her opportunities. And he goes, oh, there they are, and pushes her over. You know what I'm saying? I just envision like, oh, here he comes. Quick, knock. No. That's just me trying to make the Lord seem funnier. So anyway, he walks up. Here comes the opportunity that she prayed for. And she finds out that he has only been sober for 2 days. And talk about a tough moment. You're at the very beginning. Haven't we all made choices, whether it's, you know, we're sober or not? I don't mean that. But in anything in our life, we're like, I'm going to give up sugar. By day two, you're like, I'm eating sugar every day for the rest of my life. You know what I mean? Like, you decide you're going to give something up, and the actual walking through it is the hard part. And so after he told her that and used her phone and called a couple places, she was like, could I just pray for you really quick? I just don't think it's by accident that we met here today and prayed for him, and off he went. And she will never, ever know. Maybe will never, ever know how he did. But he now has this story that he will probably tell other people. I was walking down the road this one day, and I was just at the beginning of living sober, and this girl let me use her phone, and then she prayed for me. It was the coolest thing. Don't you all have stories like that of when somebody reached out to you and they didn't really have to, but you felt like, God's really looking out for me, and he just used that person, you know, and you just want to grab him and hug him and like, oh, you have no idea. But you're too, you know, sensitive to look weird, so you don't. But anyway, so the Lord's giving him the opportunity, the authority rather, to reach out and preach the gospel, and he wants to move on outside of that sphere. So I should always be praying that the Lord's going to give me more opportunities with more people that I would never come in contact with, whether it's at the grocery store or here at Refuge. We have new people who come all the time. I have a friend who comes and sits by herself every week. Every week. And sometimes I get to go sit with her, but sometimes I don't. And I'm like, man, how come nobody sits with her? Like, how come nobody asks her how she is? You know, I'm not pushing the blame, but we should really reach out to those people who come on their own. It takes a lot of courage to come to church and sit all by yourself. when you're not with anybody else, to just have somebody who you're looking forward to sitting next to, you know? Anyway, that's just a side note. But the point is that we're all carrying the gospel, and we all are responsible for the knowledge that we have. So down also in verse 17 and 18, it says, "He who glories, let him glory only in the Lord." I just added the only, but that works. Verse 18, "For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends." So you see Paul giving all the glory back to God. I'm not speaking of my own authority. I've been given this authority by the Lord. You're Christ. I'm Christ. We're all in this together. So why are we doing this back and forth, back and forth? Can you imagine the frustration? I think about being Paul as a leader and having to deal with issues like this, and you just want to pull your hair out sometimes. Who works in an office? Do you ever have issues that you're like, are you kidding me? Do you know what I mean? And you feel like you work at a preschool when you really don't. You work in an office. We all have stuff. I have stuff like that as a worship leader sometimes where I'm like, really? We all have those issues that come up because we're humans. We all are just like messed up people. Me being the most messed up. I'll take it. I'll carry it for you guys. So let's move on. What's interesting about the way that he is being a leader is he's being different than everybody else. He's being different than these people that we are going to go over verse 12 now. So let's read it again, slower. This is the one with all the selves and himself and herself and themselves. And verse 12 says, and I love it because it's sarcasm at its finest. And I love sarcasm in small amounts. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. Stop there. We dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves. I'm not going to compare myself to these guys who commend themselves. People who pat themselves on the back. Did you hear that awesome worship song I played the other day? Weren't you just blessed by that? That's what that looks like. If I ever do that, slap me. Okay, keep going. But they measure themselves by themselves. Sounding crazy to anybody yet? And comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. All we need to know is that's not a wise thing to do. Let the Lord commend you. Let the Lord lift you up. It says that he lifts up the humble. And what happens with the pride, the prideful people? They're brought down, right? They're brought low. So would you rather be brought down or lifted up? Lifted up. So we get to be humble. It made me laugh because I was talking to my family meets for family dinner every other week. And we were talking, my mom and my sister and I, about this verse and how it's crazy, the whole themselves, ourselves, and how we really, it's all relative. I take a swimming class at Golden West College. I decided that I was going to learn how to swim. Did I tell you guys this story yet? Okay. It's not that I didn't know how to swim. Let me explain. Let me explain to you. Sorry. So I decided I'm going to go swim twice a week and take this college class, which if you ever want to do it, it's so much cheaper to do it that way because you get two a week for like 3 or 4 months and it's only $80. So that's the tip for the night. So it's a great place to go. So anyway, so I go and I'm thinking I'm definitely not a beginner because he says beginners at the shallow end and, you know, more advanced at the deeper end. So you got people with swim caps, everything. I did have goggles, but I have bangs. I didn't realize I needed a swim cap. Anyway, so I'm thinking, I'm not really a beginner. I'm not going to be arrogant about it and go all the way to the end. Like, of course, I'm not that great, but I'm definitely not a beginner. I mean, they're in this much water over there. So I kind of get like towards the middle, right? Sort of a little closer to the beginner thing because I don't want to be like, you know, I'd rather be brought up than to be brought down. So I start swimming. He goes, the workout's on the board, follow this, blah, 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 blah. There's all these numbers up there and how many yards you got to swim and kick and, you know, whatever all the words are. And so I go, and he's a swim coach, and he can spot a non-swimmer in a heartbeat. And I'm thinking, man, I'm doing a great job. I'm doing so good. And I don't even get halfway across the pool, right? And I'm like, okay, kind of hanging onto the lanes. And he's like, beginners to the shallow end. And I'm like, he's not talking to me. I don't know who that is. He's not talking to me. I said, beginners to the shallow end. And so I begin my, you know, half swim, half kind of, you know, shuffling through the water. under the lanes, going sorry to the real swimmers, you know, who are actually making their way across the pool. And I get all the way over there, and we have a different coach. He's the one who's going to teach us. He's like, we've got a great coach over there. He's really great. He's going to teach you guys how to swim. So, first of all, I am not a college student, which is very obvious. I am not just out of high school, but I'm in a group with mostly people who are college age and just out of high school. So I stick out like a sore thumb. That's the first thing. Second of all, we start over here, and he was not kidding when he said he's going to teach you guys how to swim. Because you have to understand, I thought I could swim. But I found out that I couldn't swim. I could just not drown and get to the side of the pool. Okay? I'm very successful at not drowning. Yay me. So I get over there, and I kid you not, our very first lesson was floating. Like floating. Floating like this with our arms out, learning how to float in this much water. So I'm over there. Just picture this, okay? Because I wrote this in like a story form, and I was rolling, laughing at what I looked like, okay? So not to mention, it's not fun going to buy a competition swimsuit, you know? I've got my competition swimsuit and my goggles, and there I am floating. Poorly, by the way. Floating poorly, because I can't relax in the water. I'm like, I'm floating. I'm sinking. And down here, meanwhile, the college students, the real swimmers on the other end are like swimming their laps, and we're like, and I'm just laughing, looking up, because obviously we're floating face up, which makes the most sense. And I'm looking up, just laughing to myself, thinking, God, you have such a sense of humor. You sure know how to keep us humble. But I, you know, this was kind of my claim to fame at the end of my swim class. After the few months, we all got to go. I just wish you guys could have seen it. It was so funny. He gets us every now and then. He gets all of us beginners out of the pool, and we make our way down to the deep end. And he asks the real swimmers if they could scooch over a little bit so us beginners could make fools out of ourselves and jump into the deep end in front of all these swimmers. So there I am. In my competition swimsuit and nothing else, kind of like, mind you, the 30-something with all the college students. Just, I want you to remember all the details of why this is hilarious. So we get over there, and on towards our last bit, we were having races with each other, just putting everything we had learned together, because we did learn more than just floating. It was baby steps, and I'm really glad that I did learn how, because now I love to swim. So we were racing each other. And I was the fastest swimmer in my class, okay? However, what if, and I now swim 2 times a week, and I love it, and I laugh sometimes. I totally laugh still when I think about floating. And I had told my girls who took swim classes, I was like, they're like, how was your swim class, Mom? What'd you learn today? I'm like, I learned how to float. And Mia goes, seriously? I'm like, yep, I did. And I learned how to float. Yep. So they just think it's hilarious. But I hope that deep down inside, they're proud of their mom for not quitting after looking like an incredible fool. But what if I decided to commend myself by myself among ourselves, my beginner's class, and said, I'm the fastest swimmer in the world. I don't know if you realize how fast I am, but I am pretty fast. Well, I mean, honestly, I would look like a turtle with a limp next to Michael Phelps. Right? Can you picture that? Like, obviously, you can't limp and swim, but work with me. A sea tortoise with a broken arm. There you go. So I'm trying to, that would be the same thing. These people in verse 12 who are commending themselves by themselves, among themselves, it's the same sort of thing. It's all relative. There are millions, maybe not millions, maybe thousands of people who are faster than me swimming. And I don't want to commend myself about anything. Outside of swimming, within my own life, I want the Lord to be the one who acknowledges me. I don't want to say, I want you to notice this awesome thing that I did today. And like I said before, if you ever see me going on about myself and how great I am, slap me. I mean it. Okay, let's move on. But what I love about Paul is that he's setting a precedent, that this is what leadership with the Lord looks like. Leadership with the Lord looks like lifting the Lord up, not lifting me up. that it should be about glorifying him. We always pray among the worship team, Lord, help us to make you famous today. Anytime I teach at a worship conference, I'm like, do you want to be famous, or do you want to make Jesus famous? Because if I just want to make myself famous, I honestly believe I'm not going to be in that position for very long. Because he chooses the humble, like we said before. You know that song, The Same Love? Same love that set the captive free. You choose the humble and raise them high. You use the weak and make them strong. That's what I want to be. I want to be weak in God's sight, because I know that through his power, I can do what he's called me to do. And if I try and do it within my own, I am just setting myself up to lose. Has anybody ever been there before? You try to do something on your own and you're just like, well, that didn't work again, you know? So anyway, let's move on. We're going to talk about knowing your enemy. We're going to go to verses 3-5 here in a minute. But first, I want to go to Ephesians, a little bit to the right, not too far, or you'll miss it. Ephesians 6, verses 12 and 13. And as soon as I start reading, you're going to go, oh, I know that verse. This is our enemy. Well, I'm going to back up to verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts and wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So our enemy is not what seems like it is sometimes. Let me explain what I just said. There's days when you're having an argument with, say, your spouse, or you can't seem to get along with your kids, or you can't seem to get along with that coworker. In reality, you're not really fighting with that person. Are you walking with me on this? Because the enemy is out to get us. He's out to make us a bad example. He's out to drag us down, to beat ourselves up, to beat other people up. Because he wants to break us down. Let's find out more about our enemy. He has access to God. Look at the story of Job. Job 1, verse 6 says that he goes into God's presence to ask if he can take care of Job, and not take care of him in a nice way. And then he has to ask God's permission. Can you imagine how frustrating it must be for Satan to have to ask God's permission? Like, oh, I've got to go before God and ask him if I can destroy somebody today. But he has to go before God. He has to ask. And what freaked me out the first time I heard that he had access to God, I was like, you got to be kidding me. Why is he allowed up there? That's not right. But he does. And that's one of the things that I don't understand, and I don't have an answer, so don't ask me. But we do know John 8:44. He's a liar, not just a liar, but the father of lies. All lies come from him. So when you're believing lies about yourself, that's coming from him. That's not coming from the Lord. The lie that says you're not good enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not smart enough, you're not knowledgeable about the word enough, that's not from the Lord. That is from the enemy. The Bible says that he is prowling around like a roaring lion, right? Waiting. Just like, I picture a wolf just like licking his lips, just waiting for somebody he can grab. You get that picture? You watch National Geographic? I watch it all the time. So I could totally picture this animal just waiting with bated breath, like, yes, I can't wait, you know? I do a really bad Satan voice, which I guess is a good thing. He hates God. He hates us because God loves us and we get to inherit eternity. So he wants to take us down. He doesn't want to kill us. What happens if I die and I know the Lord? Where's Midge tonight? In the presence of the Lord. Satan lost that one, didn't he? He didn't win her. It gave me goosebumps again. Man, just giving me goosebumps tonight. But honestly, he loses one. If he takes our life, he doesn't get us. We're with Jesus in eternity. But if he can drag us away and turn our allegiance to him, then he wins, right? Because the Bible says that you can't serve two masters. You'll love one and what? Hate the other, because the other one keeps you from loving the other. Does that make sense? Did I make sense? Honestly? Okay. Like, no, seriously, I'm asking. But honestly, he wants to just pull us away and drag us down. Have you guys ever read the Screwtape Letters? heard about the Screwtape Letters, if you haven't read it, Screwtape Letters is a kind of fictional story, but based on spiritual warfare that we endure every day, where there's a commander demon, like a head demon named Wormwood, and he has a nephew named Screwtape, and it's basically letters to him about how to tempt a believer. They call them the patient. How to tempt a believer, how to drive them away, how to make them not follow God. There's tons of stuff in there, and it's amazing how many similarities I go, oh, I've totally fallen for that one. It's like this list of things to do to Christians, and you'll read that. If you do read it, you'll go, oh, he does that to me all the time. You know what I mean? Do you guys remember a few times ago when I was here and I said, the devil doesn't hate that you're in church. The devil doesn't care if you're here. It matters what's in your heart. Because what happens when you come to church, if your heart's not in the right place, you're like, I'm feeling pretty good about myself. Church, check. So it's a really interesting read if you're into it. It's really short, and it just really opened my eyes to the attacks that the enemy has on my life. So that's the enemy that we're fighting against. He wants to take us down, and he wants our allegiance to be for him, not for God. So now what are we supposed to do? So now we know this enemy is out to get us. What would you do if somebody knocked on your door and was like, there's somebody and they're out to get you? You're like, thanks. Now what do I do with it? So now what do we do with our information? Well, I love that the Lord never tells us, makes us aware of something, and then doesn't tell us how to deal with it. So let's read how we're supposed to deal with it. Verses 2-5. I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation because I love it. Verse 3-5, we are human, but we do not wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. And now I'm going to read it in the New King James because there's bits and pieces of each version that I really love. Verse 3 in the New King James, for though we walk in the flesh, we can't get rid of our flesh. We're going to wear it until the day we die. But we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. You see how they took the words carnal and mighty and made it like verses, like they're comparing the two. So if the word mighty is there, what does that say about the word carnal? It's weak. Our weapons for that would fight another human are completely worthless in our fight that we're fighting against. Because remember, we're fighting against the enemy and things we can't see. That wants the enemy who wants to tear us down. Verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So we're not fighting against people, like I said before. If I'm having a tough day and I'm fighting with everybody, first of all, what's the common denominator? If I'm fighting with everybody, I'm the common denominator. But what do you think is happening? If the day is just like, oh my gosh, I cannot seem to get my head above water, maybe that's a little bit of spiritual warfare. And maybe we need to get our nose back in this book and get back on our knees and pray, Lord, I don't know what's going on right now, but I do want to say, I was thinking the other day because, I just did not have much time to breathe last week. And the couple weeks before that, I had done a women's retreat, and man, I have never had such spiritual warfare as I had then, ever. I'm not talking about seeing ghosts and hearing voices. No, I'm talking about like self-hatred. There are thousands of people in this world who could do what you do way better than you do it. Why are you even up there? You need to just quit. This is stupid. You should probably just die. So that's what we're up against. We're up against an enemy who wants us to do things that God does not want us to do. And that's a lie. Well, partially true. I'm sure there's tons of people who can play the guitar and sing and lead better than me. But that's where God's called me. So the truth is that, of course, there's always going to be somebody better than you. But that doesn't matter. What matters is where God has called you. So if the enemy is telling you, you shouldn't even be there, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Yes, you should. You need to remember that the enemy is the father of lies. He wants you to believe that you're worthless. He wants you to believe that you're nothing. He wants to debilitate you and make you helpless to do anything. Because remember we talked about last time the difference between resting and quitting? He wants you to quit. Don't do it. That's just, I mean, I think it's amazing because in the middle of the week, my husband's like, I don't know what your deal is. Like, I don't know what to do right now. And I was like, I need you to pray so hard for me because I need this loosened because I can't take anymore. Like, I have nothing left and I need it to stop. Because I was thinking about how the Lord listens to us and he hears us when we recognize that he is with us and that nothing has come to us without him seeing it first. So if I'm feeling absolutely debilitated and I can't even get my face in this Bible, something is amiss. And I just need to ask other people to pray for me. So hard for me to do. I'm so prideful. I really am. I want to be okay all the time and I want everybody to think I'm okay, but I'm not. But a lot of places I go, I have to be okay. You got to put on your happy face. It's just true. I can't get up there and go, I just, before we start worship, I want to tell you all what my day's been like today. It's just been, obviously I can't do that. There are times when we need to put on our happy face, but we need to have those safe people that we can reach out to and say, I'm dying here. Like, I can't do anymore. Please pray for me. Please stand with me in this. If you don't have those safe people, pray that the Lord will either cause you to reach out or cause them to reach out to you. Because it is hard to reach out. When you're feeling like you've got nothing left, the last thing you want to do is go pour out your sorrows to somebody because it makes you feel like that Debbie Downer, you know, wah, wah, wah. But that's, if the Lord is drawing you to somebody or asking you, hey, go talk to that person and you feel weird about it, do it anyway. I've texted people the word hi before because I'm like, I feel like I'm supposed to reach out to them and I have no idea why. So I'll text, hi. Send, okay, Lord, and come to find out they've had a terrible day, or come to find out they just needed somebody to recognize that they were there, you know? So walking with Jesus is just a fight, you guys. There's nothing about our flesh that wants to be deprived. We want to feed our flesh. We want our flesh to be happy and never go without. We're like these little babies that want snacks all day long. Don't toddlers just want snacks all day long? They're just like, I want a snack. Can we have a snack? My dad used to hate the word snack. He'd be like, I hate that word snack. We tell him that story now, and he's like, I must have been having a really bad day or something when I said that. I'm like, well, it stuck. Sorry. So the godly weapons that they're talking about, the mighty weapons, they're used for pulling down strongholds, pulling down arguments and every high thing that exalts it itself against the knowledge of Christ and bringing everything into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. Do you guys remember the last time I was here and we were talking about finishing? You're going to finish. You're always aiming to finish, but you have two choices, finishing well and finishing poorly, finishing good, finishing bad, whatever you want to call it. We're always aiming ourselves to finish, but we have the choice whether we're going to finish well or not. So how are we going to finish? If I'm taking everything and forcing it, taking it into captivity and making it obey Christ, how am I aiming myself to finish? Well, if everything I'm doing and everything I'm saying, okay, Lord, is this something that you would want me to do? Is this something that gives you glory and makes you look good? Then I'm aiming myself to finish well. If it's kind of iffy and I'm having to make, well, anytime I go in my mind, well, then I know that I'm totally about to justify something that's not right. It's coming. My daughter does it. Whenever she's trying to tell us something, she goes, Mom, look. And I'm like, just so you know, every time you start a sentence that way, I'm waiting for you to try and convince me of something that I'm probably going to say no to. So you just hear it. So anyway, I want to share something with you guys. I have visual aids because this is how I work. And I need a volunteer. Lisa. It was Bethany the first service. I said, I need a volunteer, Bethany. I want you to pass these out. So maybe just go to the end of the row and grab out however many are in that row and they can pass them down. Okay. So you got two to choose from. So I went to Toys R Us last night. Did I already tell you guys I went to Toys R Us last night? Oh, yeah, because I talked to Johnny was his name. My husband and I was wishing today that I had a place to set this up. I'll just go like this. I'll use the iPad technology. My husband and I, a few years back, we went on a family vacation to Oregon, a road trip. And we took myself, my husband, his parents, and our kids. And any time we're together with his parents, we're one person short. Yeah, we're one person over for seatbelts. So don't judge me. Our kids were still little, and they shared a seatbelt the entire way. And I feel like such a bad mommy now. I'm like, I can't believe we made you share a seatbelt for that entire trip. And poor things, they were miserable the whole time. But that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is we went up in the middle of Oregon and came out on the coast. And the first place we were at the coast, we camped on the beach. And it was glorious because we woke up and we could hear the rain falling in the ocean. And I was like, oh, I'm home. Like, I need that ocean air. So we dug in the sand and found these two random toy soldiers. It was random. But then later on, we were at a completely different beach, somewhere completely different, and we found another toy soldier. And then we found another one. And then we found a little toy astronaut soldier, which I don't understand why they would be soldiers because there's no war in space yet. So, yet. So my point is, we keep finding all of these toy soldiers. So I have toy soldiers on the brain. And the When Leaders Lead conference that I recently went to, at the end of the conference, I was praying. And I was just kind of commending us as before we left. Thank you so much, Lisa. Before we left, I just wanted to really pray those ladies off and say, we're God's daughters. We are his leaders. We have been entrusted with the gospel. Just all the things that he tells us we are. And I kept feeling the Holy Spirit telling me to say soldier. And I felt so weird saying soldier in the middle of a prayer. We're your soldiers. I felt so weird saying that. And I was like, no, just went on with the rest of my prayer. And it just kept coming back. And so I just went, Lord, we're your soldiers. And later on, a lady came up to me and said, I feel like we're all soldiers and we're all marching in this together. And you know what I pictured? All those toy soldiers that you have in your hand right now. I pictured all of them all lined up. And this all comes together to this study. This is how it went. Remember those a couple weeks ago where I was telling you terrible spiritual warfare, like I was ready to just like quit. You remember that? So I start picturing those toy soldiers again, all lined up in rows, like I would do it if I was playing with toy soldiers. I wouldn't want them to be everywhere. I'd want them to all be lined up in a row. So I picture them all lined up in a row. And then I think about the enemy. And I think about what he thinks when he sees all of us little soldiers all lined up. Because we're in a battle. It says right here that we war, that we do not war according to the flesh. So we're in a war. Is everybody there? Everybody with me on that? We all agree on that. We are in a war. Who has felt the heat of the battle more than once? Who has felt that heat today? Okay. We're in a battle. Picture this, we're all lined up, all these little toy soldiers, and the enemy, I got this mental picture of him just like, that one, and just wanting to just flick us off the map and get us off the line and get us off the task. You know the crazy thing about the enemy, though? He knows he's going down. In my opinion, he knows he's going down. He knows God's bigger. He knows you have to know somebody is bigger if you have to ask them for permission, right? But he's not going to go down without a fight. And he's like that toddler who's been told, no, you cannot have that lollipop right now. We're about to have dinner. And he's going to throw a fit. Because even if he doesn't get it, he's going to continue to throw a fit. So he's out to knock us off the line and keep us down. But the thing about him is he wants to have fun with us. He's sick. He's twisted, right? I just don't like the enemy at all. Anyway, so totally twisted. And he wants to use us to knock each other down. How often do people get knocked off that line, not by the enemy, but by each other? Think about it, ladies. We're women, right? I am sassy as they come. And we can kill people with our words. People leave churches because they've been hurt. And it doesn't mean they can't find another church, but what kind of testament is that to the church? Because without the people, this church is just a building and it doesn't even matter. But if we lose one another, we're losing our soldiers, right? So the enemy's out to get us. And if we're joining in his game of knocking people off the line, then we're giving him our allegiance. Because the Bible says, if we're not for God, what are we? Against him. That's so powerful and so like, oh, how many times day by day in the things I say and the choices I make, do I go towards finishing poorly and turn away from what God wants me to do? Thank God that he's so gracious with us, you guys. We would be so lost if we did not have a God who wasn't like, you know what, that's the 900,000th time you've done that, and I'm just done. Because I know that's what we do. If somebody wrongs me twice, I'm good. I've got enough friends. Thanks. You know what I mean? We have such a gracious God, and he can put that grace in us to walk over to those people who maybe been knocked off that line and pick them back up. Because yes, sometimes we want to look at people and go, I don't know what her problem is. She just needs to get back up again. Really? We do that. Me too. I'm not pointing fingers. We do that. But do you know how many women specifically, because obviously we should not necessarily be reaching out to the men in the congregation, okay? Let's just stick to ladies. These are lady soldiers. I wish they had lady soldiers. They should have lady soldiers. Anyway, that's off the subject. But honestly, what was I saying? Shoot. I was talking about knocking each other off the line and picking each other up. Have you ever been in a situation or in a really awful time that you could barely even get yourself up out of bed? We've talked about this in our last study, right? Is it really easy for you to go up to somebody at church or come forward at the end and say, could you pray for me? It should be, because we're all the same, but we know there are people who are judging us. And we always think about that, like, oh, so-and-so's going to think that, you know, I'm in this sin or I'm in that sin. Do you guys know how many times I've wanted to come off the stage for prayer? Like, I wish I could go over there for prayer right now, you know? The point is that I'm trying to get at right now is that sometimes we're so down and so out of the game that we can't go ask for prayer. And that's where the Lord steps in and goes to somebody and gives them a check in their spirit, whatever you want it to look like. That person's number, maybe you accidentally call them on your phone or they come into your mind. I had a friend who came into my mind the last 3 days in a row, and I didn't text her until today. But guess what? The Lord's timing is always perfect. I don't want to blame my procrastination and say, well, the Spirit didn't want me to text her until today. No, but God still uses my procrastination. How gracious is he? That he still allows that person to say, oh my gosh, I have had the absolute worst day. That timing was perfect. Would I pat myself and commend myself among myself, with myself, for myself? No. Gosh, God, you're so good. There's no way I could have known that had been going on in that person's life. Reach out. I remember a time in my life where I was so down in the dumps, walking in sin and coming to church every Sunday. Not this church, FYI. Walking in sin, coming to church every Sunday, crumbling inside, dying inside. Remember how I told you I don't like to go up and ask people to pray for me? Why would I want to go up to somebody and go, I'm walking in sin, can I talk to you about it? No. But I was wishing and not praying because I was trying really hard not to pray because I was so intent on not walking with God. And as soon as I pray, I know he's going to grab me because I know he's powerful, right? But I wished that somebody would come up to me and ask me how I was, because I absolutely would have told them and crumbled and let it all go instead of holding it all inside. Because there's so many of us, if you're not crumbling, great, somebody is. And I'm not saying let their sadness drag you down, but let their sadness affect you. Because we think about how we are and how we've been down, and that person that's come alongside us and said, how are you? What's going on? Because don't you feel kind of funny when you feel like you're supposed to go to somebody and go, I just feel like I'm supposed to ask you how you're doing. It's that awkward, like, we're so worried about like how it's going to sound that we just don't do it. Just do it. Because if God's asking you to do it, there's a reason. So I want to encourage you, ladies, we're in a battle. If you don't remember anything else I said today, because I know I talk a lot, but if you don't remember anything else I say today, we're in a battle beside each other against the enemy. And if we're bumping people off the line, we're not going to get anywhere. So those little toy soldiers that you got, you get to take those home. I know it's a really big present. You can thank me later. But what I want you to do is I want you to keep those somewhere. Don't throw them away. If you're going to throw them away, give them back to me. Because I paid for them. Keep them somewhere. Whether it's in the bottom of your purse and you come across it one day, because the Holy Spirit's in that too, cleaning out your purse on the worst day of your life, and you're like, oh yeah, I'm a soldier. That's right. Keep it somewhere where you will remember, I'm not battling against my friend. I'm not battling against my kids or my husband or my coworker. I'm battling against the enemy, and I'm not by myself because all my other sisters here have one of these too. Look around this room. Seriously, look around. Take a look. These are your fellow soldiers. We are in this together, and we should not lose even one. We should be building more. Is a smaller army stronger than a larger army? A larger army is stronger in fleshly standards. I know that the Lord has done amazing things through Gideon and all those things, but I'm talking technically. How much stronger are we when there are more of us? So I encourage all of us, me included, to reach out past our sphere that we're in right now, because it's easy to kind of stay in there because it's comfortable and we don't really have to reach out and branch out. But man, if you see somebody at church and you feel drawn to them, that's not an accident. It's really not. Because there are so many people who come every day to church longing for hope. There's people who come into our office every day down on their luck, or just they can't even do anything. So I want to encourage us, and I know it's late. I don't know how long I'm supposed to go, but I don't think I've gone that long. Don't aid the enemy in his work by pulling one another down. Because if I'm pulling somebody else down, I'm really just doing it to make myself look better. And I'm a creep. Like, I don't look better. I am just somebody who's called by God, just like you and everybody else here. My dad's the same, and I know he would say the same. I know that my dad would not say, well, I'm a little more important. No way. You would never hear those words come out of my dad's mouth. Because he realizes, and I realize, that we are all in this together. We are all the same level. Nobody's more important than the other one, and we're in a battle. So when you're feeling like you can't handle that battle anymore, reach out and pray for me that I will. Because I struggle with reaching out. I really do. I'll get my phone and I'm like, no, I don't want to ask for prayer. No, I don't want to ask for prayer. But the Lord has blessed me with people in my life who will reach out to me. Hey, how's your week? How's this going? And I'm getting better at reaching out. So can we just commit to that tonight? That this is our core group. You should know who's here so you know when they're missing. Because it's nice to be missed. You know what I mean? If you see somebody who's been here and then all of a sudden they're not, we should wonder why and reach out. Because all of this stuff that he's talking about, as I close up, he's talking about all of this stuff going on. I don't like the way Paul is. Paul's blah, 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 blah. And he's having to stop that. So I don't want to be that way. I don't want to make it difficult for any other sister of mine. And we're all so different, aren't we? Like, we're all completely different. I think about things and look at things differently. I like worship loud, and plenty of people don't like worship loud. I get notes in my box enough that I have to just pray that the Lord will help me to remember that he's called me to this, regardless of the criticism that I receive. And honestly, speaking very transparently, it hurts. When you're working really hard at something and somebody comes and criticizes you and tells them that you should really be doing it more their way, it kind of hurts. And I kind of want to find out where they work so I can go and tell them how to do their job. But that's just me being sassy and fleshy, and I need prayer for that too. So just add it to your list of things that I've told you to pray for me about. But honestly, we're really meant to be here to build one another up. Keep the morale in your army up. Because if one of us is down, we need to help the other one. You know, in the army, how they're like, you don't leave a man behind. We should not leave anybody behind. We don't leave anybody behind. We continue to walk and bring more with us. It would be so awesome if this was like the core army of Women's Refuge, right? How cool would it be if this was the core army and we were like recruiting more soldiers? Because how much, I'm not saying this, it needs to be bigger, but how cool, because there's so many women in our church that aren't here. But how cool would it be to recruit? Hey, how are you? I've never met you before. I'm Lisa and I've been going to this church for this amount of time, blah, blah, blah. Sometimes that's all it takes. And someone's like, well, I want to go to that group because she was really nice to me. So anyway, that's all I have to say tonight, but let's just really work on this together because we're all in this together, breaking down strongholds, arguments that don't matter because the arguments are the enemy's tool to try to pull us down and turn us against each other. So the Lord is bigger and he's stronger and he's greater and all the things that Sophie said tonight. I'm so stoked that she asked me, well, what are you speaking on? I love when worship leaders do that. It's my favorite thing. By the way, I told her this morning that I needed a worship leader tonight. So she totally saved the day. But all of those things just come together. So I am up here afterwards. If you are feeling like you're just going through something and you don't want to reach out, please reach out. Because I'm here and there are people here who can reach out to you. And if you feel that tug like that, I feel like I'm supposed to go to this woman I've never ever met before and I'm just going to do it. Just do it. Who cares? What do you have to lose? So you look like a fool for a second. Who cares? Because chances are that if the Lord's led you to her, she needs you more than you realize. She needs that hug. You kind of get to be Jesus with skin on, you know? Because I've had a lot of those Jesus with skin on people, and it's awesome when you need that hug or that time. Okay? So let's pray, and then I'll let you guys go. God, we are so thankful for you, Lord. We're thankful for a God who doesn't just see us and know us, but calls us to himself and desires for us to be one crew. And here in this room, Lord, is representative of your army. And I pray, Lord, that you would keep this group, that we would not have, like my dad prays, Lord, for the new babies that are being dedicated, that they would have no wasted years. I pray, Lord, that we would have no more wasted years, that me included, Lord, that we would aim ourselves to finish well, that we would fight this fight knowing that we're not on our own, knowing that we have you, we have sisters that we can lock arms with, and that we're in this together, Lord. And I do pray that as we see these little soldiers, we will remember that this is not an easy way to walk and the world is an evil place and it's just getting worse. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us the ability to take up your power, your might, your strength to be able to fight against the temptations in our lives, fight against anything that we come against, Lord. Your word says there's nothing that we can't do with you, Lord. We thank you that nothing is impossible. And I pray that you would help us to know that and believe that, that you have good for us and that you have good for our sisters, Lord. I pray against any arguments or things that exalt themselves above you. I pray that you would forgive us for seeing ourselves as more important than each other and help us to change that now. And remember that you have enough grace for me and my sister. And that it's just the same, that you don't love me any more than you love her, but that we're all equal in your sight, Lord, and we all need your grace. And I just pray, Lord, that you would go before us now as we break into our small groups, Lord, that you would cause these ladies to be transparent, to be honest about where they're at, Lord, so that there can be healing brought. And I do pray that you would help us to be so in tune with your spirit that there wouldn't be a woman who comes into this church building, whether it's on Tuesday nights or Wednesdays or Sundays or Saturdays, Lord, that we would realize that it's our responsibility to reach out, that there wouldn't be one woman who comes in here and doesn't get noticed as somebody new and doesn't get welcomed. And we do pray, Lord, that you would add to this army, that you would add to this army of refuge, Lord, these soldiers that get to go out and bring your message of hope. And we thank you again for this time, Lord. We pray that you would bring to remembrance the things that we've learned tonight. And we thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
So wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.